Hi, welcome back to Section. This is week 5 of Computer Science E75. My name is Siddharth, and today we're going to do a little sequel. Hope Project 1 went well. That was due this Monday. You should have gotten back your grades for Project 0 from an email from your TF. Let us know if you haven't gotten it yet. We can fix that. As we go to Project 1, the amount of feedback you receive will be code specific, so we'll give you code wise like reviews of how you've done. So before we get started, do you have any like administrative questions about the course, grading, anything specific? Cool. Well, let's jump right in. So let's pull up Project 1. Project 2, sorry. So Project 2 was released this Monday and is due on the 8th of November. It is an introduction to MySQL, and we'll talk more about what MySQL is and how it works, but it basically requires that you implement a fake stock exchange and play with fake money, so people will buy fake stocks, they will sell fake stocks, except that the data that you actually pull up for these stocks will be real-time using the Yahoo API. So let's begin with sort of a transition from XML to MySQL, so that we sort of see where we're going with this. In Project 1, we had a huge menu that required you to encode it in some XML file. So you pulled up your menu, you converted that to an XML that was easily sort of searchable using XPath, or just looking through the entire file as you wanted. What MySQL does is basically the same thing. It's a way for you to store data, except that it's a relational database. So think of MySQL as giant tables. So let's work with an example of a bunch of users. So you have a site that provides the functionality of people signing up to register, sort of register for your account, for an account on your site, and then every time they log in, you want to make sure that their password was right. And if it was, you want to sort of authenticate them. We've talked a lot about authentication with session variables. If you have any specific questions, we can chat later. But if you want me to go over session again, I'm happy to do so. But in this sort of setup, so there's the first part of this is obviously registration. And for now, let's just say the only other part that's required is login. So you don't have to change the person's password. You don't have to do anything other than registration enabling people to log in. So let's talk a little bit about like without thinking about MySQL, just in general. So if you want to store a lot of data about a user when they register, so what is some of the information that you will ask for when you have somebody register? So I had two there, so let's do name, username,
password.
The actual password, other things, an email address maybe.
Yeah.
And you will see that in the actual spec, you are required to allow people to register for an account, and one of the things that he'll have to take is an email address that's syntactically valid, so something of the form foo@bar.tld, or any such variation that you should account for. So coming back to this, so if whenever people register, you basically want them to give you all this information, and somehow keep track of it. So let's talk about the first initial sort of giving you the information part. So how do we let users submit information to us? Using forms. So you have forms that accept all these. So let's call this the registration form. You have forms that accept all these, have all these fields. They fill it out, and they submit it to some PHP file. So far, it's clear this is what you've done in Project 1. This is what we've been over multiple times. So this is the overall sort of registration format. So once you have all the information, let's say you have them in different variables, you want to figure out a way to store this efficiently, make it easy. So before we delve into actual syntax, let's talk about just high level of how you would do this. So for registration, let's say you're given all this information that we decided on, so name, username, password, and email. So what do we want to do? We basically want to Sure. So there's the first part as validation. And then? Just high level.
Store.
Just store it all in that table, right? So just store it all in that table. So for the login part, they submit another form which says login. And the only two fields that we require here will be?
Username and password.
Yep, username and password. So uname and password. And they submit this to a different form. What do you want from sort of a high level again to, for this form to do? How validate, could you flesh that out? Yep, so we basically want to look up what's in this table. So we want to take their username. We want to say, is there a row in this table that has a username as the username that the user gave me, whose password is the password the user gave me? If so, it means that he actually registered and is a valid sort of query. So we will set some authentication bit in session to 1 and then use that as logged in. So this is sort of high level understanding of like how what you're going for, at least for the first part of this with this project, and you will see for most of the project, because the project really relies upon SQL as your storage mechanism for everything you need. In order to do this, I have set up a somewhat similar. So it's not just a stock market sort of simulation, but in fact it's a bus application. So basically, C75 buses, where we will list buses and how many seats they have, and have people sort of look through them, pick which bus they want, and submit a form of how many people are going to travel with them. So before we get started, some logistics regarding SQL. So the URL for where phpMyAdmin on the cloud is cloud.cs75.net/phpMyAdmin. This phpMyAdmin is basically a graphical interface for you to access the SQL databases. So to create a database, to create tables within the database, etc. And that brings up an interesting distinction: a database and a table. So a database is sort of project specific. So in this sort of registration part, for instance, let's say you, it's your own project, right? So you're working on CS75 finance, and you need multiple tables, one of which is, for instance, users, which contains their passwords, etc. You need another table which stores how many stocks they've bought, how many they've sold, what the transaction history is. So think about a database as a group of tables. So a group of relevant tables for your project is the database for your project. So let's just go about setting up a project for fun. When you go on this, you will see a username password. These are the same as your SSH username and password, the original ones that were mailed to you. So sign up on that, and you should see the screen. So let's just create a new database. One of the conditions that we impose is that your database start with your username. So in this case, it's chandras_something. So I'm just going to create this database called foobar. I'm going to hit create. And once I've created it, if you look on the left, it indicates that I have, it lists all the databases that I own. So chandras_foobar happens to be the only one. So let's take a look at the structure of this. So no tables found. Not surprising. We've just created the database. So let's create a table, say, for the same whatever we just did. Let's say users. How many fields do we have? We have 4 here, but I'm going to go ahead and put down 5. You'll see why in a second. Let's hit go. So once you do this, you will see a bunch. You will see 5 fields that we just set up. So these are fields. These are records or tuples, as they are commonly known. The fields, we have 4 fields here. I've picked 5. I'll explain why in a second. But you can go ahead and fill in the sort of fields of your table by setting here. Let's say, so here it's going to be name. And the type of information that you expect to store in this field. So here it's the common thing for strings is variable character. So basically, a bunch of characters, like strings, basically anything. So username obviously is not just numbers. It's a bunch of strings. You set a length, so a maximum length, which is, in this case, let's say 32, because nobody is ever going to want to create a username greater than 32. And that's just an arbitrary condition that we place on them. Default, let's leave this alone. We'll leave this alone for a second. Attributes, also doesn't matter. Null, index. So here we face an interesting issue. So on the index, there are four possible ones. So primary, unique, index, and full text. We'll leave index and full text alone for now, but let's just talk about what primary and unique is. When you have in your user's table that we just talked about, what is the one field that two people cannot share? Username. Because if two people have the same username, you have no idea which password to look for, and that's not what you want. So in this case, username is always unique, right? So let's say for a second that instead of doing the name in this table, let's pull this out of here. Let's pull this out of here. Let's add another field, something to the effect of. Sure. So let's do email. So actually, let's use email itself. So we just decided that username is going to be unique, but username is also the sort of identifying characteristic for this table. So if you want a record from this table, the field that you want to look into is the username. So the username is also called the primary key. So unique means that there can be no two records under that field that have the same value. Primary key basically refers to the primary key that you use to identify a record in the table. Clear so far? Let's place another restriction here. So the email is something that also we want to say has to be unique. So two people with the same email cannot sign up for two different accounts. In that case, this will again become a unique index. So this basically enforcing this at the database level will ensure that if two people with the same email try to submit it, you will see an error and you can sort of reject it at that point.
So what do you physically get back from the database if somebody, you know, submitted a mm-hmm. duplicate username or a duplicate? Mm-hmm. What comes back?
So the question is what comes back if somebody tries to submit a duplicate username? We'll come back to this when we actually deal with code, but just keep in mind that there's some return value that will indicate that your sort of insertion attempt was unsuccessful. Okay. And you can use that to sort of let the user know that the email is already being used. In addition to this, there's a comments field that we can use. Having talked about the primary key, I think it makes sense to talk about the secondary key for a little bit. So you have a table. So let's say there's another table in the same database, right? So in this table, we're storing details about the user himself. So let's say we have his name, his age, address, phone number, et cetera. So we have a bunch of sort of fields about the user. And we want to make these correspond to this table. So we want to say, if I have this, for this record in this table, I want to be able to pull up all the details of the user of that record. So in this case, how would you associate these two? The key that we use is called a secondary key. So you could do something like add a username field, and basically store their username again here. So whenever you look that up, you know the username, and you know that username is associated with another username in this field. So you in this table, and you can pull up the associated record. So in this case, the username is also acting as a secondary key that uses one. So you can use the data in one table to access specific data in another. Clear so far?
Would there be a primary key on the second table?
The question is, will there be a primary key on the second table? Here it happens to be username itself, right? Because if you want to identify a record from this table, the one that you want is just the primary key, the username itself.
It seems that there always has to be a unique field within the table in order to actually do anything with
Yeah, so the comment was that there always has to be a unique field in a table. Just to facilitate that, to pull up like a record from that however you want. In the absence of such data in itself, what you can do is simply add an ID to it and have MySQL basically increase the ID of each record automatically. So in which case you can just say, just give me the record of ID 5 and that'll give you the fifth record in the table. Makes sense? Cool. So let's it'll become a lot clearer once we sort of start doing this. Let's go on book.php. This is just like a random debug message that I had out. So let's type, I want 10 tickets to go to New Jersey on March 15th at 5 a.m. And I hit OK. So it says, seats left before booking is 200. Booking was successful. Do you want to search for more buses or book tickets or search for a passenger or view history? So let's start with history. Let's take a look. And it says, oh, I'm Siddhartha traveling on bus 43 at 2 p.m. and then the one that I just booked, which was the second one. Let's search for a passenger. So let's just search for the booking that I just made. So it says 10 passengers traveling with Sid. There should be a space there. That's just a formatting issue. On bus number 1 at 5 a.m. on March 15th to New Jersey. So sort of overall like look at what this does. I'm going to dive right into the code. So if you have any questions before of what we've done so far, I'm going to pull up the code. What we've done so far.
So with regards to the project, the tables themselves, we're supposed to use PHP MyAdmin to create the tables as opposed to creating them using PHP in the MySQL.
Sure. The question is, do you have to create them using PHP MyAdmin or do you do them with actual PHP code? You can do either.
Okay.
I think it's better to start with PHP MyAdmin actually has a feature that says, when you create a table, just show me the PHP code that you use to create it. And once you have that, you can just copy it over and sort of at the beginning of the project, if that table is not available, just create it on the fly. So that's something you can do, but for I think to begin with, just create it in PHP MyAdmin and then you can work with it from there. So let's start with the first file, so book.phps. So far it's just static HTML, there's nothing interesting here, until we hit this require once common.php. So let's take a look at what common.php first is and then come back to that file. So common.phps says, a comment just to signify what this page does. And here it says error reporting, which just means that the server will display all errors that you hit. This requires another file, constant.php. We'll take a look at that and then come back to this one. So constants.phps has four constants that I've defined. So it's database name, database user, database password, and database server. And I basically defined them to be these values. So all I'm doing in this file is just defining constants that I can look up from other pages that I require it in. Let's go back to common.phps. So at this point of the file, we have those four variables that I just defined. And here it says connect to database servers. So here, this is probably the first like most interesting part of the file. It says MySQL connect database server, database user, and database pass. So what this does is before you can execute any sort of any query on a table. So let's say you're asking for a record which has the username something. Before you can do that, the first thing you need to do is to actually open a connection to the database, and that is done through the MySQL connect query function. It takes the value, the arguments that it takes as a server, which in this case, if you looked at constant.phps, is just localhost because the database is stored on the same machine as your files are hosted. So it's stored on just cloud.cs75.net. So here we're just connecting to localhost with a username and a password. And if this is false, so if this fails, so let's take a look at what MySQL connect does. So MySQL connect, open a connection to a MySQL server. It has a bunch of description of the parameters, which is good. and it returns a MySQL link identifier or falls on failure. So if it fails, we want to tell the user that we were unable to connect to the server. So here we're saying apologize, which is just a function that does not exist. So this is just a model for you to deal with. So in many cases, you probably want to throw error messages in your PHP. And instead of having to do this sort of ad hoc, just echoing it out, calling this function called apologize can basically make that very simple for you, where it will just take a string and then print out the error message in a sort of reasonable format. And this is something you can use in your own files to make your design better. Apologize that you cannot connect to the database server. So if the connection went through, it's all good. Here we want to say MySQL select db database name, which in this case is chandras_buses, as we called it. If this connection is false, so here we first connected to this MySQL server. Now what we want to do is to sort of select the database that we want to work with. And the database that we want to work with is called chandras_buses. So if you can't select that database, again, throw an error and fail. So far, so clear? So for every time you want to access the MySQL server resource, you want to open a connection to the server as we just did. So let's go back to book.php, not PHP, PHPS. And so it says, one second. My bad. Okay.
That code to open up the connection to the database.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to keep. You're not going to be executing that more than once, or.
So the question is, how often do you execute it? You basically have to require it on every page. So like here, this is what I do. I require it on every page, so that every page you open a connection to the server.
Okay.
So this is why we factored it out into a separate file, so that it just makes it look so much better.
But as you revisit a page.
Going to
try to open it again?
As you revisit a page, yes, it will open it again.
So there's no concept of is set, you know, for this being open, then you don't have to do it again?
I'm not sure about the, maybe the function itself takes care of sort of handling, checking whether it's open or not.
Okay.
But from our perspective, it you have to sort of try to connect every time.
Okay.
Let's begin with this. So in my actual, sorry, here we go. Okay, so So here I'm saying require common.php. So we'll come back to what this destination is in a second. But here I'm storing the string $SQL equals select star from databases where seats not equal to zero. So let's sort of step back for a second and figure out what exactly we want to do, and then the syntax and how the syntax works. So, in my buses table, I have something which says number of tickets. Is it number of tickets? Sorry, seats. So, seats, just like the variable name says, the field name says, just shows me how many seats are there available on that bus. So when I display sort of which bus I want to let them pick, I want to display only buses that have seats available on them, right? So because if there are no seats available, I don't want to display it. So I'm saying select from the buses where seats not equal to zero. So in my actual, so okay, so the query was select from buses. So let's deal with this part first, and then we'll work with the second. So select is the basic sort of command. Most, I think it's probably something that you will use over and over again. Select basically says show, so some equivalent of give me all. So give me, I believe it was select star. Yep. So star just stands for all. So select star says, give me all the records from buses. The from is part of the SQL language itself, but buses is the name of a table. So this table here is called buses. So I'm saying select star from buses, right? So what does this do? This gives me all the records in the table. But I don't want all the records. I want only the ones which have a non-zero number of seats left. So here I add this conditional which says, where seats not equal to zero. So not equal to is just like how we've seen it in PHP. So bang equals is not equal to. Seats is the name of a field. So here I'm saying, give me all the records from the table buses that does not that seats is not equal to zero in. Clear? So you could do more. So you could say select star from buses where seats equal to 200. So you can modify the condition, but this is the basic structure of a SQL command, SQL query. There is a select or some sort of function. So you can select, you can insert, you can update, you can do all of these things. We'll go into some of those. Select star from buses where seats, where is this the conditional? So we're just saying, I'm going to qualify this command by giving me all these, by giving you this condition. All clear so far? Cool. So then we execute it with the MySQL underscore query function. Let's take a look at what MySQL underscore query does. It's very simple. It just sends a MySQL query. So it just calls MySQL, just actually executes the command on your server. So once you do that, it returns, we're storing the results of that in this variable called SQL results. MySQL numRows, just as the name suggests, is a function that checks for the number of rows in a given MySQL resource. So we just got the results. So let's check how many rows there are. So MySQL numRows, SQL results equals zero. If no records were brought back, it means we have no empty buses. Clear so far? Any questions? We'll go over the entire thing again. So so we'll do that. And then we'll actually, now it's actually again back to HTML. So there's this form that submits to book2.php using post. It has a name, it has the number of tickets, all these are text fields. Let me just pull it up so that you can take a look at it. So it has the name, it has the number of tickets, it has a bus select command. So we'll come back to see how this works now. So we're saying while bus, so this is again static HTML. So we're just saying select bus, and select is, as we've seen in HTML, it's what we use for the dropdowns in HTML. So I'm just opening a select, and I'm going to dynamically fill this with PHP. So while we've seen while as well. So we're saying while MySQL fetch array from SQL results. So let's take a look at what SQL results was. It was what we got back after we did the query. So while bus is equal to that, we're going to say echo bus of destination, bus of date, and bus of time. There's a lot going on here. So let's break this down a little bit. So we have seats, we have destination, we have time, date, and in addition to this, we have an ID table. So this is how the table looks. So first thing we're doing is setting up the query. So let me actually write this out so that you have. And this is probably always a model that you want to follow. So first part is set up query. In which case, in this case, it was the line that says $SQL equals select star from. It's just a string. So set up the query. Actually execute it. And then you read the results. So there are three steps to querying. So you set up the query, you actually query it, and then you read the result. So this gave us back, this is just a string. And this itself is just calling MySQL query. And this uses the MySQL fetch array function that we'll talk about in a second. So first we set it up, we got results. So now we want to like look through each record in the results. So think about the result itself being as a bunch of queries. So it's basically a bunch of tuples. That's what we expected. first thing we're doing is making sure that it has some value using the MySQL numRows. So you give it the result, and it tells you how many rows of records you've gotten back. If you've gotten zero, you want to say no empty buses. Now let's so in this part, we're saying, well, bus equals MySQL fetch array SQL results. So MySQL fetch array takes a result, so result of a query, basically repeatedly gives you the top row of the query, so of the results. So we had a bunch of results that gave back. So let's say ID number 1, destination New York, time is 5 p.m., date something, something. And then we have 2, Boston, 2 p.m., and so on. So the first time you call MySQL, so let's say this is the result, SQL result that we just got back. The first time you call MySQL fetch array, it will basically pull off the topmost, it will pull off the topmost sort of result and give it to you as an array. So what this if condition does, it's two things. It checks to see if it first sets bus to the result of that function, and then it also makes sure that bus is not empty. So if bus is false, that condition will not go true. So once we do that, we have an array that basically maps an associative array that basically maps the fields. So now we're just going to say bus of ID, give me back the bus of ID, give me back the destination, give me back the time, by accessing it in this manner. Sort of clear? We'll go over this once more, and that should make it better. So the first thing we did was actually set up the query. The query in this case was a select command, which is the equivalent of, which is just a give me all the records that qualified as a where clause. In this case, the where clause was that the number of seats should not be 0. But once we got that back, once we got the result of executing that back, we first checked to see how many rows are there in the result that we got back. If it was 0, we just said no empty buses and sort of quit, gave up there. If not, we repeatedly took the top row off the results that we got back, stored it in a variable called bus, accessed it, printed some stuff out, and then when the moment we reach the end of it, the while loop basically ends and you don't have to go through it again.
The minute you reach the end of that.
Yep. So what?
Multiple entries in that array.
Mm-hmm.
So is the while?
So the question was, there are multiple entries. So how does a while sort of go through each one? So what MySQL array does is it grabs this, stores it in bus, and sort of scratches this out of the list of results. So the next time it pulls up the next topmost, like, the topmost array, which happens to be 2 Boston. So repeatedly, you're basically grabbing the top. You're taking the top one, storing it in bus, accessing it. MySQL fetch array has pulled it off, like the result. So next time you access it, it basically updates it again. Clear?
So it actually modifies it.
Yes, it actually modifies it. It modifies SQL underscore result, the variable SQL underscore results. There are more examples as part of this, so hopefully by the end of this, you'll have a better idea. So here it takes a bunch of things. We saw that we had a form in this file that submits to book2.php. So let's go through that file and see what it does. So book2.php requires common again. So it opens a connection and it sort of sanitizes all these results that you got back from $_post. We'll come back to why does MySQL RealEscape string exist and what it sort of does. Hopefully, if we have time, this section, we can do that. So think about it as basically sanitizing, sort of making sure that there are no rogue characters in the result that they give you. So you first sanitize the name, the number of tickets, and the bus, which are all values that were submitted to you from the first form. Once you have that, there are 2 queries here. So first thing it does, it says, sprintf, which I'm not sure if we've seen so far, so it's worthwhile to go over it really quickly. If you're familiar with C or several other languages, sprintf works the same way. So you have a string, and you fill it with placeholders. Placeholders are of the form percent something. and you give it a variable. So in this case, let's say, so this basically takes this variable and stores it in the placeholder that we defined in the string. So in this specific case, we're saying the string that we want is insert into history of values. It's going to take the name variable, store it in the first percent S, take the dollar tickets variable, store it in the percent D, and the dollar bus underscore ID variable and store it in the second percent D. Clear so far? For how sprintf works? So it basically constructs a string using some extra characters. You could just as well do this with like concatenating a bunch of strings. This is basically an easier way to concatenate strings. So let's look at the actual command here. So it's insert into history values something, something, something. So history itself is another table. So most, I think all queries in SQL will be of the form something from or something from something. And the second resource that you give it is the name of the table. So insert into history means that history is another table. Values, and you're giving it three values. So at this point, it will help to actually look at the table and how it looks. So this is not how you should. Oops, my bad. Let me pull it up. The panel is not accessible this year. This is something we did last year. So confirm security exception. I'm just using it as a link. I don't know where exactly the link is. So phpMyAdmin. Here we go. So this is an old. This is my database from a previous version of the code. The URL here is wrong. The URL that you should be using is. Stop this for a second. Let's log in with the username and password that I defined. Cool. So this is the same phpMyAdmin. It's just accessible at a different URL that you will not use. So here we have the actual phpMyAdmin for this database, which is Chandra Center Crew Buses. Let's pull up the history table. So the structure shows that there are just three fields here. The fields are name, seats, and bus ID. So every time somebody makes some transaction, I will store the name of the person, the seats, the number of seats that they bought, and the actual ID of the bus. So let's look at the browse part of phpMyAdmin. We'll list all the different sort of tuples you have right now. And if you look at it, there are just two of those. So it says the second one is the one that I just bought, so 10 tickets on whatever bus ID. Bus ID here is a unique. It's not necessarily unique because multiple people can. It's a secondary key. There is no primary key here. This is one of those cases where there is no primary key because all I want to do, I can have multiple people buying tickets on the same bus. So bus ID is not unique. So I have bus ID number 2. So let's take a look at the table buses and see what it does. The structure itself has ID, number, destination, time, date, and seats. Let's go to browse. And you have bus ID number 4 is the bus to Boston, number 43, time, date, seats. So we'll come back to what we do and how we fill this, but this is the structure of it. So this insert command is of the form insert into table name. So insert into table name, so insert into history. Values basically tells you, I'm going to give you three fields, and the fields that I give you are in the same order that you sort of expect them. So in the table itself, it's name, buses, name, seats, and bus ID. And here, that's exactly what I'm storing. So I'm saying, store the name of the person who bought it, the number of tickets that they bought, and the bus ID, which is what we've done here. And once we do that, update the buses table. So we've done this. What we need to do now is to sort of say, somebody just bought 5 tickets, I'm going to reduce the number of tickets available in your column. So we have the bus ID now. So we're going to set, we'll come back to how this works. Again, we'll go over it. But update buses set seats equals seats minus something where ID equals percent D. The seats minus thing is very clear. So you have 200 seats, and somebody just bought 5 seats. which we store in the dollar tickets tickets variable. So here we're just setting seats, just set the number of seats available to the number of seats currently available minus the number of tickets that they just bought. So once we've done this, we want to also do this only for that bus number for which they bought tickets for. So we're going to qualify this with the where clause by saying, so update the table buses, set the number of seats to how many other seats there were minus the number of tickets they bought. And don't do this for all the sort of records in the table. Do this only for the records where bus number, bus ID is the ID that they just bought for. Is this clear? So that's why when I hit, let's go back here. So let's say I go to book. So let's take a look at the buses table right now. There are 200 tickets available on the bus number 52 to New York. So let's hit, let's do FUBAR BAS. Number of tickets is, let's say 30 to New York and hit book. So seats left before booking, 200, which is right. And now there are 170 seats that we just that are left on it. Before we move on, there's a huge error here. And this is something that you have to think of as you work with it. There's something that we're not validating. Any, do you see what the problem is?
Not the number of seats that are available.
Exactly. So we're looking for the number of seats that are available before you buy it. You're never checking to see if the number of tickets you buy can still be sort of fit into how many other seats are available. So, yeah. So I could have asked for, let's actually do that right now. And bad person buys 200 tickets to New York when there are only 170 seats left. Now when we hit browse, we actually have negative 30 seats, which is not good. So. But this is something that you have to keep in mind. So when you're dealing with cash, i.e. fake cash, in this case, you have to make sure that every sort of transaction that they execute they're eligible to do so, that they have enough money to actually buy a certain stock. Clear so far? All right. So let's go back to, so let's do search now. Actually, let's do history. History is fairly simple. So from a high level. So we're just printing something going on this bus, so going on this bus, etc. We know the structure of the two tables. So do you, from a high level, how would you go about doing this? So you have a history table, you have the buses table, and you want to print out all this information. So how would you?
Some kind of join.
Some kind of join, that's one way you could do it. But the sort of easier, more naive way to do it would be? Yep. So first thing you want to do is to query the history table. You want to say, give me back all the records in the history table. But keep in mind that history stores only name, seats, and bus ID. Now you want to pull up the information of the bus based on the ID. So now you query the buses table based on that ID and fill in the information. So this is high level. That's what we want to do. So let's see the actual code. First connect to it. So like we said, select star from history. So here we're not qualifying it. So we're saying, just give me back all the records you have. And all the records in that table will get printed. So we're saying, this is code from another file. It's a mistake that I'll fix later. And here we're saying, so we're first saying passenger. So that each transaction, we're setting passenger equals give me the first record. And then we're saying select star from buses where passenger of bus ID is that ID number. So we're getting all the records. For each record, we're saying, I have the ID here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pull up the relevant record from the buses table based on this ID. And once I do it, I will fetch that array. I know that there's only one because ID is unique. So I can't have multiple buses with the same ID. So I need to do this only once. So I MySQL fetch array from that to bus, and then I echo the passenger name, traveling on the bus number, the bus time, the bus date to bus destination. Does this make sense? So two steps here. First is to query everything in the buses table, the history table, and then for each one, query the buses table for like the relevant information, and pull up and just print it all out neatly. So this is why when I hit history, it says, let's actually just show, let's do the browse. So the name is Siddharth, so it says Siddharth is traveling on bus number. It looked at bus number 43, pulled up the relevant details, filled in the rest of it, and printed it out. Is this clear? Cool. All right, so the next one we have is passenger.php. Oops, passenger. Yep, so here, this basically lets you search for a passenger. So you want to see if I'm on that bus. So let's search for Sid. Let's hit search for passenger. And it says 10 passengers are traveling with Sid traveling on bus number, et cetera, et cetera. How do we want to go about this? Once again, sort of high-level overview. Any ideas? So this is the history table. And we have, I've given you a specific name for the passenger to look for. Exactly. So you queried this table for all those records that have the name that whatever you name you want to pass. In this case, it was Sid. And once you do that, you look up. You have the bus ID number from that resource. So once you do that, you look up the buses table and pull up all the information that it has. This is like a perfect example of a secondary key. We're using the bus ID repeatedly to pull up the relevant information from another table, i.e., the buses table. Let's take a look at the actual code now. So first, it says it has the name. So it gets the name, which we just passed it, by submitting that form. So it says, select star from history where name equals percent %s. There's a small gotcha here. So SQL requires that any strings in your where clause, so if you say where name equals something, then the whatever you're comparing it to has to be within single or double quotes. Unless it's quoted, SQL will not like it. So make sure that you quote your sort of conditionals. So name equals open quote, Sid a close quote, which is what sprintf takes care of. Actually execute it. Now, if the number of rows of that result is zero, it means that there's no passenger traveling with that name. So we're going to say no passenger under that name. Here we say while, and then now what we do is while for each of the rows, because there could be multiple, I could be traveling on multiple buses. So for each of the records that you got back from the history table with this name, query the bus table and find out which bus, where they're going, what they do, et cetera. And once you do that, just print it all out neatly in a sort of readable, understandable format. Was that clear? Any questions? Okay, let's see. So check availability. This is, let's search for buses. So search.php. So now it's very similar. So we're saying, I'm going to give you a destination, and then find all the buses that are going to that destination. So here let's do Boston and hit search. And it says 195 seats available on the bus on bus number 43 at 2 p.m. to Boston. How exactly would you want to do this? You have a given name, so you look at the buses table with for that destination. Once you have that destination, you can basically search for. Once you have all the records with that destination, you can just pull them out and handle each resource. The source of this, same model. Select star from buses. So give me back all the records in table buses. Where destination equals whatever destination you're looking for. In this case, it was Boston. And once you have this, you can say, see here, so just loop over the entire resource. So every time, just pull off the top one and echo the number of seats available, echo the number of on the bus number itself, the time the bus travels, the day, and the destination. This is clear, sort of general understanding. In terms of actually understanding the syntax, it's best to just on PHP MyAdmin. One of the cool features is the SQL tab, which basically lets you execute. Let me make that bigger. Which basically lets you execute SQL queries and just test them before you actually write them out in PHP. So when I do select star from history, It just says for the SQL query, it's showing you rows 0 to 4, and these are all the rows that we have. So just using the SQL tab to sort of try different queries and figure out just get your syntax right before you actually start using it in PHP is probably very useful.
So I saw that there was a create PHP code on that
same... the question, yes, there is a create PHP code. So if you take a look at this and hit create PHP code, it will show you the actual query itself. So it says $SQL equals select star from history where 1 limit 0 to 30. This just says limit this to 30 results. So this just says select all the ones in history. So you can also use this to sort of test your PHP code and figure out what is wrong. Another useful way to debug it is once you set up the actual SQL string with whatever sort of information that you want to put in it, just echoing out the string, copying it over and pasting it here will help you fix a lot of bugs. So here, let's say I misspell history, forget the O, and I just hit go. Errors that you may not see within your PHP code, you can see here because it says table chandras underscore buses dot history does not exist, and it does not because I misspelled it. So just echoing out the string, copying it over, pasting it, and working with that is a very useful way to debug. Questions? You had a question?
Well, I did. I mean, when you had a string that actually did translate to PHP, I noticed that it didn't use the double quotes around the string itself. It just used a single quote.
The question was, it just used the single quotes, and PHP is good about that. You can use double and single quotes in most places interchangeably. So for all purposes that we deal with here, you can quote your outside string with double quotes and your inside string with single quotes, and PHP is entirely fine with that. Let's see. So other things you can do, you can also, anytime you want to see the structure, you can select the structure, you can edit each field that you want. PHP MyAdmin is basically a great GUI, so for everything that you want to do with your PHP code. So let's go back here. So let's just finish this up. So here it just says, here, for instance, is exactly the double quote, single quote thing I was telling you about. Here, the outside string itself is double quoted, but the inside string has single quotes. So it says, where destination equals open single quote, whatever destination you submitted, and close single quote. So let's, in the time we have, let's briefly talk about the MySQL. This is something that we've seen multiple times, but let's search. Let's pull up the voc2.phps. So if you looked at this file, I said we'll come back to it. This MySQL real escape string function. The problem with this, let's talk about like a few cases where you don't sanitize something. So let's say you have a query of the form, select a star from users where username equals. So there's a form that submits to your PHP file, and you basically grab it and fill it here, right? So the problem with doing this without sanitization is that the user could submit something. If the user submitted a string of the form, so if the user submitted a string of the form this, right? So he actually just typed this out. So he actually just typed the string out in a sort of username field and submitted it to you. Without sanitizing it, if you just plug this in, what you will do is you will close this quote, and then you will say, put a semicolon, which means it's the start of a new SQL command, and say something to the effect of drop table users. So you've just let drop table users is the syntax that you use to just drop an entire table. And more often than not, a table that stores usernames and passwords is probably going to be called users. So without sanitizing it, letting them do something like this is obviously very bad because they've just dropped your table. Hence, every time you get a result that you're actually going to use in a query, you make sure that you sanitize it. And MySQL RealEscape String basically takes the string and escapes every part of it. So even when you put it in here, SQL treats it as an entire username. Does that make sense? Do you have?
So it would all show up within double quotes? Is that what you're saying?
Yep. So the question is, would it all show up within double quotes? What basically it would do something to the effect of, it would put backslashes around every character that might be dangerous. And when SQL looks at it, it'll just say, when your PHP code itself looks at it, you can actually just escape quotes that way. So it'll just treat it as a literal quote character instead of closing the quote that you had opened. So this is a very broad overview, and I recognize it. Do go over this example and start thinking about the schema for your tables in for project 2. There are a lot of things that you have to implement. You need the users part, you need to enable people to buy and sell stocks, and we'll go into all of these one at a time. But in the meanwhile, just sit down, sort of figure out, create tables within PHP MyAdmin. There was a question about whether you can work locally. You can. So XAMPP allows you to run PHP MyAdmin locally. And the process for doing that, you would connect to the database that you create there. And then at the end of it, just grab all the information that's stored in your tables using by exporting the data from PHP MyAdmin and importing it back into the cloud. So you can work locally if you prefer that. Create a bunch of tables, look at everything that you have to implement, take a look at the examples from lecture, and sort of figure out how your project will look before starting to implement it. And as always, let us know if you have any questions. It's help@cs75.net. Thank you for coming, and I'll see you next week.